If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he, that is, John, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. This is the very beginning of Jesus's earthly ministry. In chapter 4, he was sent out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And then when he came back, he started preaching in Galilee and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then we have this. The Beatitudes follow immediately upon the declaration of the disciples. Need to make a confession to you. I'm not perfect. Point a lot of people, but I'm not perfect. Sure, I get to God. And as I become more and more wrapped up in his holiness, I become more and more aware of my own sinfulness, my own shortcomings, my own unworthiness. Let me give you an example. Miranda and I went to the Grand Canyon. Gosh, that was a long time ago. My niece got married in Phoenix, and we went up to Flagstaff, and then we went to the Grand Canyon. When you drive out of Flagstaff, going north, headed toward the canyon, you're going through what's called the high desert. And oh, it's beautiful country, absolutely gorgeous country out there. And as you're getting closer and closer to the Grand Canyon, you don't see the canyon. There's just no evidence that the canyon is even there until you arrive at the canyon. And then you only get to see the actual majesty of the canyon when you actually walk up to the very lip of the canyon, the edge. You can see that there's something over there, you know, there's mountains and other things around, but you don't realize how wide that sucker is or how deep it is until you're standing on the very edge of the canyon. And oh, the majesty and magnificence of that sight. It's just amazing. The same thing is true with God. The closer and closer we get to God, the more we become aware of how big he is, how great he is, how majestic he is, how holy he is. You can use all the different adjectives you want, but it's not until you get close to him that you realize also just exactly, ooh, how far away you are and how much you need him. You know, you can't get from the south rim of the canyon to the north rim of the canyon without going all the way around the canyon. There aren't no bridges over that canyon, okay? Now, maybe if you were Evel Knievel and shot yourself out of a cannon over, you know, you might make it, but he didn't make it over the Snake River Canyon, so I don't think he'd make it over the Grand Canyon. Anyway, all that said, without Jesus, you aren't going to get from one side of God to the other. You're not going to get to be in his presence without the grace and mercy and love of God and his son, Jesus Christ. And it's not until you get so close to him that you realize how utterly dependent you are on him. So there's my confession. I'm not perfect. But I am converted. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, as I hope all of you have as well. But I am not yet perfected. It's the question of justification and sanctification. You come into the presence of Christ by accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are justified in him. You line up with him. You are in right relationship with him. Sanctification, making you perfect in him. C.S. Lewis in the last, further up and further in. And it is a battle. I had this thought while I was working on this, and I thought, well, I better check. So I called Christopher, I asked him, I called my accountability partner, I asked him, I tried to call the bishop, but he wasn't available. Anyway, there's an analogy, a metaphor that I want to use here. Christians are like sharks. Now, my accountability partner ran with that way farther than I was ever willing to go. But anyway, Christians are like sharks because we have to keep moving forward. If you quit moving forward, you're going to die. And I wanted to check that.
Woody Allen, Annie Hall.
Oh, I don't want to go Annie Hall. I'll have to ask Amanda for permission to make an Annie Hall reference. Anyway, I did want to check on that because I thought, you know, I started thinking about that. And I thought, wow, if sharks have to continually move forward, when do they sleep? So I went on the internet because we know all truth is found on the internet. And I went on the internet and I said, I'm not going to just put that in because I went to all the science sites and tried to find it. And one of the science sites referred to a study that ended up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. So I went to the Encyclopedia Britannica and I found this, and this is just fun. This has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but you're going to be edified by it, right? Okay. Anyway, they had an article on do sharks sleep? Oh, cool. Okay. In 2016, they did a study, a scientific study of sharks to find out if they actually ever sleep. And just off of Baja, California, they had a remote vehicle that followed a great white shark. And it was female. And they wanted to find out if she ever sleeps. And they followed her for weeks. And finally, at one point, she finds a place where there's a strong current. And she puts herself in this current with her tail just slightly waving and opens her mouth. And then doesn't move for hours and hours and hours. She doesn't really sleep, but she's resting. But the water's flowing through her open mouth and over her gills. That's how they do it. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
That has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but isn't that cool? Anyway, you can look that up in the Encyclopedia Britannica if you want to. Okay? Anyway, all right. But the point is that We have accepted Christ. We've been accepted by Christ. We are in Christ. And we need to continue to grow in him. And this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples, his brand new disciples. They've accepted him. They're going to follow him. And then he sits down on the mountain and he begins the whole Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Basic teaching. Okay, you guys, you're following me. Now, here is what you need to do to be perfected in me. Okay? And that's the Beatitudes. Now, we act like the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 are the only ones, but there are literally, well, scores of Beatitudes in the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Let me give you a couple of them from the Old Testament. They're mostly found in the wisdom literature, found in Psalms and Proverbs. Few of them are found in the prophets. But let me just give you a brief smattering of what you can find there. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Psalm 2, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 85, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And then in Proverbs, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Proverbs 28. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. And then just for a reference, Isaiah chapter 30. Blessed are us was a sign of the nearness of God to those who are righteous, who are walking in right relationship. All of these are pointing to that relationship with God, saying that, you know, if you're walking in a right relationship, God's going to be near you. It kind of puts the emphasis on us, not on God. Are you with me? Does that make sense? You follow? No? Yes? Okay. All right. But now in the New Testament, there are dozens of Beatitudes in the New Testament. Obviously, you can find some in Luke's Gospel as well as Matthew's Gospel. But you can also find them in Romans, James, and there's a whole smattering of them in the book of the Revelation. But the difference is, I told you what the Old Testament Beatitudes are focused upon. In the New Testament, the Beatitudes stress the joy of our inclusion in and participation in the kingdom of God. It's as it were, the Beatitudes are in one sense a celebration of our relationship with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Okay? And it's not about what we need to do so much as what our relationship with Christ brings about in our lives. Okay? It's not about initiating a program of social and moral improvement for Christians. The message is that we are blessed because we have come into his kingdom. Are you with me? All right. Those who are blessed cling to God. They're single-minded. Those who are blessed are single-minded in their love for him. But we're still living in the world. And it's an oppressive place to be a dwelling. And so you get this contrast in the Beatitudes. Though we are oppressed by the world, we put into practice our faith in Jesus Christ. And in that, though we are still walking in this temporal turmoil, we have the blessing of God resting upon us. Are we still okay? Okay. All right. So we're walking in righteousness, in a right relationship with Christ. But it's not just an attitude. It's an attitude that exhibits itself in practice. Okay? Our relationship with God isn't just about us. I think Jack has a good song about that. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. That's it. We're walking in right relationship with God, and so what we are experiencing in that relationship, we have to put into practice, and that's where the perfecting of our lives in Christ begins. Okay? Those who are blessed are not yet perfected, but they're on the road. They're converted, but they are pursuing perfection in the kingdom. Their interest, their desire is for God and for the establishment of his kingdom. That's what makes us blessed. All right. So let's look, if you will, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. And these are the Beatitudes. They're spoken by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry to the disciples who are seeking the Messiah. And here's what he says. Okay, you've accepted me. You're walking with me. You're following my footsteps. Now, here's what you need to understand. Blessed are, in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That sounds kind of disturbing. Poor in spirit? But what he's saying is, those who are blessed recognize their spiritual need. They recognize they really, 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 really need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to begin this perfecting process. They need to desire to grow up into the fullness of the kingdom. That's what he means by poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn? Well, yeah. I don't know about you, but when I walk around in the world today, or I unfortunately hear some spattering of news that comes my way, there's plenty to mourn about. Blessed are those who mourn because the world is dying without Christ. Blessed are those who mourn because of their own sinfulness and shortcomings. Blessed are those who mourn because they recognize, oh my gosh, I've got to be perfected in Christ. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. Meek. You know, there's so many who think of, if you're a Christian, you've got, you know, meek in modern America. But the word meek, the Greek word, actually refers to a bit that you put in the mouth of a horse. The meek are those who are guided by God. As he pulls the reins, he directs us going whichever way he wants us to go. The meek are those who are under the authority of God in every aspect of their lives. Those who are under that authority will inherit the earth. Miranda saw a cartoon the other day, God and Father standing there with Jesus and saying, I was going to give you this as an inheritance, but would you rather have Mars or Jupiter? There is reason to mourn. Anyway, all right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, verse 6, for they shall be satisfied. Hunger and thirst. But he doesn't stop with hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, for a right relationship with God. That the blessed are those who have this intense desire to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, giving glory to God the Father. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Merciful, this one sounds pretty straightforward, but it's not mercy in the sense of just having kind thoughts and goodwill. This kind of mercy is something that requires the performance of an act of mercy, all right? An example, the Good Samaritan. All right, the Good Samaritan had mercy on the man who had been beaten, okay? And he took care of that man. And then what does Jesus say? Who proved to be the neighbor to the man who was left for dead in the road? Who proved to be the neighbor? And the Pharisees answer correctly. They say, the one who showed mercy. It's a matter of carrying out those things, those merciful things that God has shown to you, you show to others. All right. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Now, heart in a biblical sense is the whole person, all right? It's the rightness of mind and the singleness of purpose that we have toward what we are pursuing. Psalm 24 puts it really well. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" Here it is. Who is this? "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false." A pure heart, a pure mind, a whole heart, a whole mind. How are we supposed to love God? We're supposed to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind. That's what it means to be pure in heart. "Blessed are the peacemakers," verse 9, "for they shall be called sons of God." It's not those who are in a state of peace, but those who are peacemakers, who make for peace. All too often we cover over faults, or we dismiss altercations and just say, you know, "I've forgotten about that. I'm not going to deal with that." And we turn away. But the peacemakers are those who seek reconciliation, who bring, as it were, the warring parties together to make peace. St. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians, and he says in chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself," and here's the key, "and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We are reconciling ministers. God came and reconciled us, though we were in war, as it were, against him. He came, sent his own son to reconcile us to himself. He gave us the model for the ministry of reconciliation. That's it. You want to be a peacemaker? Work at the ministry of reconciliation. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," verse 10, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Not every persecuted person is blessed. But those who are persecuted for righteousness, those who are persecuted because they are in a right relationship with God, are those who are blessed. These are the persons, those of us who are walking with Christ are a threat to the world. That's why you should expect persecution. And in another sense, flip that on its head. If you aren't being persecuted, you might ask yourself, what's wrong? All right. Blessed. Blessed are those who walk in the Lord. We are justified by grace through faith. And now we're being called to walk in a right relationship. We are converted. We belong to Christ. But we have a whole lot of growing to continue to do. I confess to you, I'm not perfect. I got a lot of work to do. And the closer I get to God, the more I realize how much more work there is to do, to let him do the cleansing, purifying, and making me right with him. We have to cooperate with him. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you were reborn. You realize every newborn is a full part of whatever family they're born into. We are fully members of the body of Christ. But just like a newborn baby, there's a whole lot of growing left to do. We need the nourishment. We need to continue to grow into the fullness of the kingdom. We need to be like sharks and never stop moving forward. We need to continue to grow and to remain alive in his kingdom. We need to become one of those who are blessed. Amen.